Samuel chapter 22.
And then a verse from Genesis chapter 32. First of all, 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 30. This is David speaking, and this is sort of a psalm. You'll find it in the book of Psalms as well. And verse 30 says, "For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall." And then in Genesis chapter 32, and verse 30. "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel," or Peniel, "the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his side." Now, I don't want you to put up your hand, but I don't know how many of you read the Choice Gleaning calendar each day. But just a few days ago, in the reading, there was a short excerpt there by Brother Harold McKay of Greensboro, North Carolina, on leaping or limping. And it really helped me, and I kept thinking about it, so I went back and developed it a bit, put a little more flesh on the skeleton. And that's what we're going to talk about today. It helps, to get little nuggets from others. You can't always find them yourself. You can't find all of them. You see, I find a couple, and somebody else finds some, and if they pass them on, then sometimes I rejoice in what they find. Sometimes I don't see too much in it, but then again, there are other times when I can appreciate it. So, first of all then, leaping. "For by thee," David says, "I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall." You would think that David was an astronaut living in a gravity-free atmosphere to be able to leap over a wall. I know there are people who can do it. Some seem to do it without any effort whatsoever. You know, if you lived on the moon and you got up in the morning feeling real chipper, you took a good leap, you may go up 50, 75 feet, I don't know, before you came down. No gravity there to bring you down. That's what it sounds like here. David says, "By thee have I leaped over a wall." Well, I don't think that David was talking about literally leaping over walls. He may have, because David had been hunted like a partridge by King Saul. David had been designated by God as the successor of Saul on Israel's throne. And Saul knew it. And he made David's life miserable. He hounded him from pillar to post. On the mountains and in the valleys, in the woods and in the plains, he sought to kill David. Remember, even in his own palace, he threw a javelin at him and tried to smite him to the wall. But I think David is rather speaking in a spiritual sense when he says, "By my God, I have leaped over a wall." Walls are opposition, difficulty. You know, there's the handicap race. You have to jump the hurdle. Or you have to jump over a body of water, maybe 8 feet wide or something. David knew his God, and when things got rough, when the difficulties arose, when the walls were in front of him, then he found God to come to his aid. Sometimes we think, we've programmed our minds to think, that life, the sea should always be smooth, the wind should always blow lightly, out of the northeast, and there shouldn't be a hole in the road, and there shouldn't be a thorn in the grass. We shouldn't have an ache or a pain. Life should be perfect. But it isn't. Because we live in a sin-cursed earth. Everywhere around us, although we see the beauty of God's handiwork in creation, and we do not understand how that all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. For the wise man says, from whence they came, the waters return again, through evaporation and other means, and so the cycle goes on. So, in spite of the fact that this earth went through a catastrophe, we believe when Satan was expelled out of heaven, cataclysmic procedure devastated this earth. Yet, in it we see God's handiwork. Our lives as human beings, they're never without ups and downs, never without sorrows and joys. Never without disappointment and pleasure. The tide ebbs and flows as the sun rises and sets. Life is never the same. Every day is different. Every day there are new challenges. There's a variety in life. We would get bored to death if every day was the same. And so God has designed it that it isn't. But you say, what about those days when the clouds hang low? When the sun doesn't shine? When the thunder rolls and the lightning flashes like yesterday? You know, we planned an afternoon to the beach. And we got rained out. We had to come on home. We got wet. Instead of by the salt water, we got wet by the rainwater. We had to come home. So life is not always beautiful. It's not always perfect. There are difficulties. There are walls. Now, there are some people who don't like it when they run up against a stone wall. And what do? They pull a gun and put it to their heads and they blow their brains out and they end it all. So they think. Life shouldn't be this way. Life isn't treating me right. And I'm tired of it. But we have to accept it, that that's the way life is. We do come up against problems. We do meet these walls in life. Difficulties. How are we going to overcome them? How are we going to get over the wall? David says, by thee have I run through a troop. He broke the enemy's rank. By thee have I run through a troop. By thee have I leaped over a wall. Saul had him surrounded on many occasions. Even in a cave, David and his men went in to rest. And Saul and his men came in and encamped in the same cave. David may have taken his spear and pushed it through his heart and said, I'm never going to let Saul kill me. I'll kill myself, or ask one of his men to do it for him. But he didn't. He trusted in his God, that God would open the way, that God would bring him out of his difficulties. And what happened? Saul and his men, his armor bearer, his keeper, fell into a deep sleep. And David was able to go up and cut off the skirt of his garment and take his cruse of water. And one occasion, twice this happened, take his spear and then go out of the cave and shout back. There are times when we come up against these stone walls, these difficulties, these problems in life. What we need is solid, firm, unwavering faith in our God. Now you say, that's abstract. I like to see something that I can touch and I can handle, and if there's an opposition there, then I get down and I move it myself. Well, you might try to do that. Sometimes it may work. But for the Christian, for the believer in the Lord Jesus, our rescue, our deliverance, the way out for us is not to be by human ingenuity, not by our own connivings and maneuverings to open up a door through a dark, thick wall. When Israel came through the Jordan, they didn't know how they were going to get over the Jordan, but God opened it up. He opened up the Red Sea as they left Egypt. He opened up the Jordan just before they reached Canaan. And when they got over on the other side, one of the first difficulties and oppositions to meet was Jericho. Walls thick and high, so thick that chariots, we are told, could ride abreast on the top of the wall and high. No way they could mount those walls. No way they could break them down. But God gave his message, his solution, his formula to Joshua. And he said, I want you to do what I tell you to do. And the walls of Jericho, at the shout and the sound of the trumpet and the shout of the people, the walls fell down flat. They crumbled. Not through the battering rams, but by the power of God, they crumbled, and every man went into the city straight before him. We meet walls as thick and as high as those in Jericho in a spiritual sense in our lives. We meet walls. It may be with our health. And we begin to wonder, we question. Maybe we don't question God, but we do look up and we wonder, why is it thus? But you know, we have to remember that even our bodies, these bodies in which we live, although we may be Christians, although we may be saved, yet these bodies are the bodies that have come from a cursed creation, humanity, as well as the physical earth. And so the body begins to deteriorate from the moment of birth. Although it develops, it grows, it expands, yet, in a sense, that body begins to deteriorate and to go down. And we have health problems. And we like to be healthy, we like to be well, we like to feel good, we like to be strong, we like to go about our duties, we like to go to our work. But we're not able because of our affliction. So what do we do? Well, God has given us men with wisdom, doctors, physicians, surgeons. But he's also given us the assurance that he knows. Isaiah uses an expression and he says, in fact, Jehovah is speaking concerning Israel, his people, and he says, thy walls are continually before me. Now primarily that may speak about the walls of Jerusalem, the walls of the city of Jerusalem. But I think a second and practical application could be the walls of his people, the difficulties that they face, thy walls are continually before me. And he knows. He knows that we are flesh. He knows our weakness. He knows our frame. And he wants us to trust him. He wants us to use our good sense and not to abuse our bodies and not to neglect good health rules and not to neglect, if it's in our power, seeking the advice of the doctors and the physicians. But he wants us to trust him in order that we might be able to leap over our walls. It may not always be that our bodies will be healed, but we can leap over the wall even with a sick body. Even with a sick body, we can leap over the wall. We can overcome the difficulty by complete submission and surrender to the will of God and allow him to work his plan and purpose through our lives. Now you say, well, you can say that because you're not sick today. You're standing up on your 2 feet. I know I have to be reminded. I know that one day, if the Lord doesn't come today, I know that one day I'm going to face these difficulties. But I believe that through our God, through implicit faith in Him, we are able to leap over these walls and to surrender our lives and our wills and to commit our way to Him so that we will get the victory. They will not keep us back, but rather we will rise above them, and God will get the glory even out of these difficulties. Do you remember the first day, the first night, the first week, the first month of your Christianity? First few days of walking with God, we felt like we were walking on air. We were on cloud nine. Nothing bothered us. We were rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven, in God's salvation, in His eternal life, in the fact that we were waiting, watching, looking for the coming again of the Lord Jesus. But perhaps with most of us, it's true, as it was with the church at Ephesus. The Apostle John wrote in Revelation chapter 2 that they had left their first love. You know, the things of earth have a way of coming in and dulling those bright, lustrous moments. And the cares of this life come in and we just don't rise above the circumstances as we used to. But if we can wait before God and just try to get back to that first love that we knew then, wall and opposition will not be a deterrent to us. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. At the gate beautiful, there was a man lame, laid daily at the gate to receive something from those who passed in and out. He asked Peter and John, and Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none." I don't have any money. "But such as I have, give I thee." And the man, I'm sure, wondered, what on earth does he have? If he doesn't have money in his pocket, what does he have? "But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And to sort of assist him, he reached down and caught him by his right hand and lifted him up. And he realized he could walk. His feet and ankle bones received strength, and he began to walk. And the scripture says he began to leap and to praise God. He not only walked, but he leaped. "By my God have I leaped over a wall." How do we look at life? Is life a burden? Miserable? Is it depressing? At times it is. I have to agree with you that we lose faith. We lose the real purpose of our being here. And life is a bore. But for the Christian, let us remember that whatever the circumstances, whatever the opposition, how high the wall, how dark the night, how thick the cloud, our God reigns. And we can trust Him, even though we cannot trace Him. You know, if the night is dark, and you place your hand in the hand of someone else, and they lead you, you can follow. You're trusting. You may not be able to see the road. The night may be so dark. And you're just putting out your faith, your feet one step at a time in faith. You can't even see the road. You can't even see your guide in front of you. But you're holding on and he's holding you. And that's the way it is. In Christian experience, we trust where we cannot trace. In the deep, dark waters of life, by my God, have I leaped over a wall. We could mention a lot of walls, but we won't have time. You know, that some have overcome poor education, poor speech, like Moses, poor finances. You say, well, I can't do very much. I can't talk. I can't send money to missionaries. I don't have a good education. I can't preach. And they become walls. And they prevent us from excelling in God's work, from going out and doing something. We build those walls. But God is able to make us triumph, to overcome, to leap over those walls. And he took a Moses who was a stammering, stuttering man, and he made him as a prophet, King Pharaoh. He took Peter and James and John, fishermen of Galilee's lake, unlearned men, the Pharisees called them, ignorant so far as scholarly and academic works were concerned. They were ignorant. But God taught them and God used them. So we can leap over these walls by faith in our God. But before we close, let's look at Jacob in the leaping, in the limping. Jacob was now returning after spending 20 years with Laban. Still upset, uncertain as to what Esau was going to do to him when he met him, with all the 400 men that were coming with him. So he does his own maneuvering. He divides up the whole company. His family, he separates them into smaller families, smaller groups, sends them over the brook. All the cattle, he divides up into different groves and sends them over. And he stays on the other side of the brook that night, I guess to think it all out, just what was going to happen. And God met him, sent an angel, and wrestled with Jacob that night. Jacob seemed to be getting the better of him, so he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and put it out of joint. And we read that Jacob halted or limped upon his thigh. From that day on, till the day of his death, Jacob walked with a limp. He was never the same. Wherever you saw him, you knew that's Jacob. Look at how he's walking. That's Jacob. And Jacob might have complained and he said, you know, I could have done a lot better if I didn't have this limp. If I could run and if I could climb, you know, I could do much better. But I guess I'll have to suffer it. Suffer it to be so now. But that's what God wanted. That's the way God wanted him. Jacob had been Jacob all of his life up until then. He had maneuvered himself and everybody else up until that time. He had gotten the best of everybody. But now he's limping. And it wasn't long before it was all coming back to him. His own son treated him in kind as he had treated other people. They deceived him, and they made him weep, and his hair turned gray, and he groaned and he wept. He limped for the rest of his life. But his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. You see, it was all Jacob up until that point. From then on, it was Israel, a prince with God. Now, I know we'd like to be leaping all the time. We'd like to be doing exploits for God. We'd like to be doing great things. Spectacular. But not always that way with all of God's people. Some of them limp through life. They have an impediment. They have a thorn in the flesh, as did the Apostle Paul. And he might have thought, and he did, and he prayed 3 times to God to remove it. He says, God, I can do a lot more if I can get rid of this thing. Why don't you take it away? I can be so much better. I'm sure he said that. But God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's better this way, Paul. And he says, amen. Suffer it to be so now. So Jacob limped through life, and Paul the apostle had a thorn in the flesh until he died. Don't be discouraged if you have a limp or there's a thorn in the flesh. If there's some impediment, if there's some drawback in your life, no matter what it is, it might cover one of 100 different areas in your life. And you think it's a drawback. You think you could do much more for God if you didn't have it, if you were strong and healthy. Listen, accept it from God. Jacob had to. Paul had to. Are we willing to accept it? It's true, sometimes with our God we can leap over a wall. But at the same time, with a limp, we can please God. And we can glorify God. We can magnify His name with a limp, just as well as with a leap. So whatever it is, if you can leap, praise God. Leap for God. If you can only limp, do it for God's glory. He wants to use it. The thing is for us to be available for Him to use. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word and for the challenge that it brings to our hearts. We thank Thee for the joy that we have in Christ Jesus, for those times of exhilaration when we feel as if we can leap over a wall. The grace of God is so precious to us. The Lord Jesus is so magnificent. We thank Thee for those experiences. But then, O God, we realize that there are those and there are times when we limp along. Help us not to allow the joy to go out of our lives because of this. But rather, to submit ourselves, and even with an impairment, an impediment, a drawback, a limp, a thorn, that our lives may be bright and shining witnesses for the Lord Jesus. This is what Thou dost want, we believe, O God. We now, graciously and tenderly, submit ourselves to Thee, for Thee to work in us and through us, all for Thy glory. And we thank Thee in Jesus.